Welcome to the Grace Community Church Sermons Podcast. Each week we share the sermon from this last week's service. We hope this sermon encourages and equips you on your journey to know and follow Jesus Christ. Let's listen in now.
Well, good morning. How are you guys doing today? Ought to be all fired up now. Good worship today. Good stuff. Well, we're going to be continuing. Last week we had the privilege of hearing from one of our missionary couples that we support. So hopefully you had a chance to listen to that. If you missed it last week, I encourage you to check out our YouTube channel. It's all there. If you don't know where that's at, go to our website, gccofalliance.org, and up in the right-hand corner it talks about past services, so you should be able to find it from there. But we had a chance to hear from the Tello family. John Tello shared a lot about the art ministry that he's involved with and their new ministry that they're involved with in the church plant up in Akron, and so a Spanish-speaking church. And I know he gave an invitation for all you guys to join him at some point. And now, what I'm asking you, if you go, don't all cahoots together and go at once and leave me by myself. But if you ever want to go up there, I do strongly encourage you. There's something, I've experienced this a couple of times, there's something incredibly powerful about being in a service that's spoken in another language, especially Spanish. There's just something about it that is just really cool. I think it's a really cool language. And you may not understand the words per se, but you can follow along in the scripture. And so I'd encourage you to consider that as a family sometime. Again, don't you dare cahoots together and all go at once. But I do. I think we have the opportunity when our ministries that we support are local or at least relatively local, we should definitely do that. This week we're going to continue in our series of Acts, our third part here, kind of the expansion of the church. And we've been tracking a lot of things going on. In fact, last week we saw Paul and Barnabas, who had been through the first missionary journey together, had gone back to Antioch and had even gotten involved in some theological discussions there and took the message with them. The difference was, is Paul and Barnabas did have a sharp disagreement and they parted ways. And we looked at that and understanding that the messiness in ministry, when you serve in the church, when you serve with people, we'd like to think that it's always going to be hunky-dory, but it doesn't always work out that way. Sometimes there's small disagreements, sometimes there's sharp ones. But in the end, we realize that we can trust God, right? We can trust God in His ministry. And what Paul and Barnabas did separately, I think we will see throughout the rest of Acts, we'll see that they actually covered twice as much ground. And while I would never hope for a sharp disagreement between two friends, I do believe that God can still work through their ministry, and He did. And in Acts 15:41, we saw how Paul and Silas, his new traveling partner, along with likely others, went to Syria and Cilicia, which would have been north of Syrian Antioch. So you think of Jerusalem along the coast, and I've got maps later, we'll show some of this, but you go north of the coast, and then they kind of went around through Turkey, what would have been known as Turkey, and that's the route they took. Today, though, we pick up this account in Luke's account. Remember, Luke wrote, is attributed with writing the book of Acts, and this is what we're going to affectionately known as Paul's second missionary journey. And we're going to find that even though part of it started off as they expected, there was detours that they encountered. In fact, I titled this message Unexpected Detours because when they set off, from the moment there was a disagreement, I think things started to go a different route than what Paul had probably expected. And I can tell you this, in my life personally, I've experienced detours. And I think you can probably relate. And sometimes in the midst of that detour, it's incredibly hard to see what God is doing sometimes. In fact, a lot of times it's shaded from us. We don't know what's going on. And I'll share more about some of my personal detours in life with you later. But I do believe that when we get to the other side and we do reflect on where God has brought us and where God has taken us, that we do see the blessings that come through this. Didn't say it was easy, but there's certainly we can see what God is doing. Because we know that detours in life happen. And I'll tell you this, that sometimes we think detours are always bad, and I don't think that's the case. They're not always bad. We don't always know what's going on. Oftentimes it involves a change of course. And let me tell you, this is a hard one for me, is it's life doesn't go as I planned. Can anybody else relate to that? You make a plan in life, and things then seem to happen after that. And I'm a very linear person. I've shared that with you before. I like order. I like a plan. And sometimes I realize in my life that God likes to work through that and bring hardships or detours into my life to help me learn things that I would never learn otherwise. And I do believe it strengthens your faith. And looking back, I can see that there's many things that God has done in my life that I'm really glad he didn't do the way that I planned. And that getting to the other side of the story, I can realize what he's doing. And so in this passage today, we're going to see a few truths that I know I'll comment on at the end, and I believe that can all apply to our life. But before I go any further, let's jump into God's word here. Less of my words, more of his. Let me read in Acts chapter 16 to you, the first 10 verses here. And we see this. It says, he came to Derbe and then to Lystra, where a disciple named Timothy lived, whose mother was a Jewess and a believer, but whose father was a Greek. The brothers of Lystra and Iconium spoke well of him. Paul wanted to take him along on the journey, so he circumcised him because of the Jews who lived in the area, for they all knew that his father was a Greek. As they traveled town to town, they delivered the decision reached by the apostles and the elders in Jerusalem for the people to obey. So the churches were strengthened in faith and grew daily in number. Verse 6, Paul and his companions traveled throughout the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching the word in the province of Asia. When they came to the border of Mysia, they tried to enter Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them to. So they passed by Mysia and went down to Troas. During the night, Paul had a vision of a man in Macedonia standing and begging him, come over to Macedonia and help us. After Paul had seen the vision, we got ready at once to leave for Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this day. I thank you for your word. I thank you for this recorded account of Paul. Lord, I thank you for his desire to fulfill your calling in his life, God, and his faithful obedience along the way. Lord, show us from your word today how you use detours that may be unexpected to us, yet we believe are divinely inspired by you. Detours that bring tremendous blessing in our life and that fulfill your plan. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Recalculating. Let me set the tone here for you. If you're a Gen Xer or older, do you remember the first GPSs that came out? They were accurate-ish, and they often led you places you never would go otherwise. This is not in my notes, but I remember one of those times when we were told to turn right at a road, and I realized that it was a one-way road. And Heather, I believe, probably told me don't do it, and so then I naturally did it because the GPS told you to do it. So I was following. But if you've ever heard this phrase before, I can guarantee you probably have, the word recalculating. I got an audio clip.
Recalculating.
Right? Have you heard that before? You're all looking at me like I'm crazy. Tell me you've heard it before. Okay, thank you, Dale. I appreciate you at least acknowledging me. Recalculating. And what's interesting is it happens sometimes when you've made a mistake, but other times not so much. Let me set the tone for you. If you're like me, you're getting ready to head and drive to a very important event, and you've spent time studying what the perfect route is. Maybe taking some of the GPS, maybe figuring out your own experience. And then all of a sudden, you're on the route and you hear that word, recalculating. Little did you know that there was actually a slowdown ahead of you. And you were forced off the highway, the smooth, steady, straight, fast highway, to the slow, bumpy, windy back roads. Now, if you're like six of at least the eight people in my car on a regular basis, that is not a good situation. That induces car sickness, which induces many other things, bad behaviors and all these things. And so you're like, no, Dad, don't do it. But motion sickness kicks in. And then suddenly, though, 20 or 30 minutes later, you arrive safely at your destination, only to find out that there was a major accident that occurred along the path you went. Now, you likely wouldn't have been in the accident, but if you think it was frustrating on the windy roads, drive with me through traffic and find out how frustrating it is for the rest of the car. It is not a good situation. And you realize that this roadblock or this detour was actually protection. And see, on our journey today, we're going to track with Paul and Silas, who incurred some recalculating moments. We read them already. Very clear text saying the Holy Spirit prevented them. The Spirit of Jesus wouldn't let them, redirected them. And these recalculating moments could have been moments of frustration. They could have been perceived roadblocks. And I'm not saying that Paul and Silas weren't frustrated. I'm sure they probably were. If you have an idea of where you're going and you're kind of redirected, the first time you're like, okay, God, good. Second, third time you're like, God, are you sure you know what you're doing? But still, they kept going. And the detour eventually got them to God's destination, not necessarily their destination. See, this has application in our lives too. How we live, we find out that life is often what happens after we make our plans. And if you can relate to that, you understand that that can be frustrating at times. So we pick up this story, and what I told you before, was the second missionary journey. I have a map here of the first part of that journey that shows you what verses 1 through 5 were. We see in Antioch, kind of on the right-hand side, that Syrian Antioch, that's their home base. Remember, that's kind of where they started. They went up through Cilicia and Syrian region, and they go across, probably through Tarsus. You know, that would have been, you know, Paul was from there. And then up, we mentioned, they went to Derbe, Lystra, and Iconium, which, by the way, those should have been familiar. That's where Paul and Barnabas and the other group went the first time, but coming the other direction. And if you remember what happened on those journeys, there was headaches and frustrations is a small task. I mean, Paul, even at one point, whether he was really dead or just mostly dead, was stoned and left for to be dead. But he wanted to go back. The heart of his ministry wanted to go back. He wanted to revisit those cities. And we see in verses 1 through 5 a couple of the reasons why. We see that he met up with Timothy. Now, if you've studied God's word or you've been a Christian for any length of time, you know in the New Testament, Timothy is mentioned. He even has a couple of letters written to him. And Timothy, this is where Timothy kind of gets on board with ministry with Paul. And if you know Timothy, you know later in life, he would have been a very valuable asset and partner in Paul's ministry. We learn a little bit about Timothy. We know that his mom was Jewish, his grandma was Jewish, and both of them were believers. All it says about his dad is that he was a Gentile. Now, a little study in history probably indicate that he very well could have been a Roman soldier. This would have been a garrison region. There would have been soldiers in this region, so it's quite possible. At the very least, he's a Gentile. And so because of that, we know that Timothy was not circumcised. Now, Timothy had a solid reputation by all the believers in the area, and Paul's going to take him with him. And so you might ask, why did Paul have him circumcised? You know, Paul just spent a great deal of time preaching about how circumcision isn't necessary to accept the saving grace of Jesus. But in this instance, Paul kind of, I believe, knew where he was going for his ministry. If you remember, Paul oftentimes started out in the Jewish synagogues first, if there was one in the region. And so Timothy not being circumcised would have been an issue. Even though he was Jew, it could have caused him to have less access. It also could have caused perhaps the perception that Timothy rejected his Jewish heritage. And so this was kind of one of those situations, I think, where they went ahead and did this just to kind of make things of an easier transition. So Paul, Silas, and Timothy, and probably others, went on the first leg of their mission. In this, Paul shared doctrine, it says. He said encouraged people, and he helped their faith. And the verse even says that their numbers grew daily. So this would have been a very lively session. People would have come to know the Lord, and there was much good happening. So the team continues, and in verse 6, we see that it says this. It says, Paul and his companions traveled throughout the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching in the province of Asia. So that's an important thing to underline there, having been kept. So the Holy Spirit is keeping them from preaching the gospel in the region of Asia. Why is that important to note here? Well, we realize if you read the earlier verses again, you'll see that Paul had this heart for Asia. That's the region he was kind of going back to. So he believed once he visited those cities that he had been to before, he was going to continue preaching in that region. In this, we see a roadblock. We see a roadblock that occurred, and we see now, if we put up the second picture of the missionary journey, we see that, go to the next one for me. I'm not sure how far down it is. I might be out of order. There we go. So we see that he's going through this region of Asia, right? So he goes on from where he's been, and as it says, he started going up, but he was kept from speaking the gospel. Luke did not record specifics here, but maybe specifics aren't necessary. The Holy Spirit was at work. The Holy Spirit was directing. Paul and Silas had set out for Asia, but the Holy Spirit had other ideas. In this first roadblock, we see that all it says is the Holy Spirit kept them from speaking the gospel. I don't know what that looked like, but all I know is that that would have been contrary to what they thought they were going to be doing. And in verse 7, we will see that here that it says the next roadblock. When they came to the border of Mysia and tried to enter Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them to. So if we see on that map again, we see that they would have been traveling north, right? And you see Bithynia is up there. Mysia is kind of that region that's in the upper region. So Paul would have been trying to go up, but for whatever reason, Jesus, the Spirit of Jesus, that's what God's word said, directed him another path. Again, no specifics. All we know is that Jesus, the Spirit of Jesus, was at work. It doesn't mention frustrations either. Now, I don't think that means he wasn't a little perturbed, perhaps. But I think sometimes we think that that means that he wasn't frustrated. He may have been frustrated. But we do see that, what did it tell you he did? It kept going. He continued on. And he ends up in the city, verse 8 tells us, of Troas. Now, there's much evidence that these men were very Holy Spirit-sensitive followers. Could they have been frustrated? Probably, but they kept going. And these spiritual roadblocks weren't something to just stop them, but it redirected them in the direction that God had them to go. I think about this as a personal application. When we face roadblocks, my question is how do we respond? I said I would share a little bit about my journey. I've shared some of this before, but I can remember, golly, I had to stop and think about it. It's been at least 10 years ago, maybe more, where I first felt that sense of sensitivity from the Holy Spirit of God calling me into some kind of ministry. Now, at the beginning, I believe, because of my technology background and my training, that I was going to use that technology skills in some mission capacity. In fact, I even went on a journey. I did a missionary journey to Guatemala. I served there. I had connected with an international missions corporation that was all missions based and had started talking with them about possibly, you know, joining them in some capacity. And then something happened that God created a little bit of a roadblock. There was a trip I was supposed to go on, and I thought I was supposed to meet some people in Africa, and that trip got canceled. And at the moment, I thought, God, what are you doing? Like, you've been preparing me. I'm supposed to go. I started raising money. I was starting figuring out how I was going to get there. It was over Thanksgiving. I wasn't going to miss much work. All of these things. And suddenly, the door closes. Now, I had no idea that 5-ish years after that, I would be standing in front of you as the pastor of this church. God did, and I could share many more roadblocks along the way and redirections and detours, but we don't have enough time for that. I get yelled at if I go too long, and my mom's in nursery today, so I can't go too long. But do you get the point? How many of you can relate? Can you look back in your life and realize, man, that looked like a roadblock, but really, it was a detour? Far too often we view roadblocks as judgment or like harshness, that things that we're not supposed to be doing, or maybe we're doing something wrong. Now, they can be, but so many times after self-examination, I believe that many times when we're able to look at in hindsight, you know, looking through the rearview mirror, God was just redirecting us. And how we address roadblocks really tells a lot about our heart posture. Maybe today you're in the middle of a perceived roadblock. Maybe it's a lost job. Maybe you didn't see it coming and you lost this job out of the middle of nowhere, at least as far as you could see. And you're in the midst of that right now and God hasn't really redirected you yet. But I'm here to tell you that maybe that lost job is a roadblock. Maybe it's a health diagnosis. Maybe it's something that's happening to a loved one or, you know, in your life where you're like, how in the world did this happen? I didn't see this coming. This health diagnosis seems like it's a roadblock. Maybe it's a detour. Or perhaps you think I'm perceiving to take the next step, to take the next step in my job. And like you've gone through the promotions in several places and you're like, this next job is right there. That's my career goal. But for some reason, you get stopped. Maybe it's a relationship. Maybe it's a desire for a relationship. I don't know. There could be many things in your life that are perceived roadblocks that God is using in a different direction. It's important in reflection to remember that dead ends and roadblocks could just be a redirection. It's not necessarily a mistake you've made. It's not even necessarily anything related to you directly as far as a choice you've made. It could just be God detouring you or leading you another direction. And in verse 10, we see in these verses 9 and 10, I want to read here, we see suddenly the reason for the detour. They ended up in Troas, the city of Troas. And one commentator said it this way, a not very remarkable city. Just kind of like, other than it had a throughway to different regions in the area, one happened to be a gateway to Macedonia. But other than that, it wouldn't have been something on the map that Paul and Silas would have marked out for. But God did. And we see in this message, we'll see here in verse 9 and 10, that in Troas, we see Paul and Silas will get a new mission revealed. Verse 9 picks up the account and says, during the night, Paul had a vision of a man of Macedonia standing and begging him, come over to Macedonia and help us. After Paul had seen the vision, we got ready at once to leave for Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. Imagine this. They're there. They think they're probably a little frustrated. They don't know where they're going, but they know they've ended in Troas. And suddenly Paul gets this vision, a very clear vision, a very succinct, go and do this vision. He recognized that this vision was of the Lord, and I think that that in itself talks about the communion that Paul would have had on a regular basis. He was seeking the Lord's direction. Perhaps even this vision was a response to him spending time in prayer that very night. I don't know. That's my conjecture, but I wonder sometimes God doesn't always speak necessarily until we're seeking. And I'm not saying God always has to wait for us. That's not the case. But I think just like miracles, we see so many times miracles occur, visions occur after a time of faith is shown. And he recognizes that this is of the Lord. And now he knows why the roadblock. A couple important reflections of this. Just remembering the dead ends are not necessarily mistakes. I've mentioned that already, rather a detour. But in verse 10, we see an important change in verbiage. I'm not an English major, and I even noticed this one. Pronouns went from being third person to being first person. Who does it say got ready at once and left for Macedonia? It's only two letters. we got ready. Who's we? Well, obviously Paul and Silas and Timothy, but who's we? Who is the human author of the book of Acts? Luke, right? And so we see that suddenly Luke is now part of this story. Another reason I believe that this was important for this journey to happen this way. Plans included provision. Yes, they picked up Timothy. Yes, they got a vision, but they also picked up another traveling companion. And I just want to point this out because sometimes in life, a lot of times in life for me, because I'm not so observant, even if we do not know or realize what is needed, God does. And that is another reason why perhaps He uses roadblocks or detours in our life. So we get to the end of this message, and there's so much more that happens in the following verses, but I'm going to cut this is like part A, to be continued. But what I want to pull out of this passage today is, again, remembering that a life following Jesus will include unexpected detours. It can lead to many recalculating moments, many sometimes, depending on how slow you are on the uptake. There's spiritual roadblocks that keep us pursuing Jesus and just maybe show us a new mission that God has for us. In my experience, my perspective oftentimes shapes my responses. In other words, if I'm more in line and in tune with my relationship with Jesus, I can see things happening a little quicker sometimes. But if I'm having one of those weeks where I'm just not connecting with God for whatever reason in that moment, sometimes I'm a little slower on the uptake. So hope that's encouraging to you if you've ever felt slow on the uptake. Maybe it's not. I don't know. But if you're in line with Jesus, when you're locked into His mission, this absolutely affects your attitude and your response. It's why we're in the midst of this reading God's Word and prayer challenge. You know, we have those posters up. We talk about it almost every week because I know beyond a shadow of a doubt, reading God's Word is going to have a much greater impact and a much longer lasting impact on anything in your life than something I will say. And I know that while I may make mistakes and I'm not always perfect, God's Word is always true and always perfect. Spending time with Him, spending time in meditation and prayer and seeking what God has in your life is what's going to change your life. And sometimes, in the midst of a crazy life, serving God becomes with it some detours. And we can recognize that in the midst of this, if we're truly reflecting on that, that He's in control. He is the one that's directing our paths. And when we are in line with Him and when we are surrendering to Him, this makes things go better. Now, not always easier, but in the end, He's going to lead us where He needs us to be. And I don't know about you, but knowing that God is in control enables me at many times to hand over my anxieties and my cares to Him, even ones I don't want to let go. I've shared this before. I come from a long line of anxiety-ridden people. My Aunt Lori calls it the Candre anxiety. My mom's a Candre, and so they always say that everybody who's a Candre has super high anxiety, and sometimes I can relate to that. I can be anxious about anything if I'm not careful. If I'm trying to say the words that we should never say, I got this, when we run into a difficulty. Rather, surrendering over to God's will, giving Him His praise, trusting Him, surrendering to Him, because life is crazy. But when we recognize that He is in control, we stop and remember that He's the one that's planned our steps before we even born. He knows us. He cares for us. And if we call Him Lord, He is leading us where He wants us to go. Now, again, not easy. If you're an anxiety person like me, a high tension type of person, you know it's hard. It's hard because your gut reaction, your human reaction, it's kind of that fight or flight mentality, is when you run into something that's challenging, you get anxious. Which is why things like spending time in His Word, spending time praying, spending time listening to worship music, you know, everyone's a little different on what gets them excited or helps them feel closer to the Lord. Whatever it is, spend time in His Word. Spend time in prayer. So what can we learn from this? I think in this passage there's some helpful truths, and I put them in the bulletin for you with some blanks. so that you would try to listen to me, right? I draw you in a little. Hopefully they're correct. I gave them to Mary correctly. The first one, no, hopefully I gave them to you correctly, so because you wouldn't make a mistake. Boy, I'm in deep now. Keep going, Gary! Woo! Before God, like that transition, before God can redirect us, we have to remember that sometimes he often has to stop us. Before he can redirect us, because I don't know if you're like me, when you get your head down and you just start going and you're like, I got this, I got this, I got this, sometimes you are a bit oblivious to what's going on around you and God's got to, okay, Gary, stop. Listen to me. How about we turn right here? So before God redirect us, he often has to stop us. The pace of life is fast, and I miss hints all the time. Sometimes God has to hit us upside the head with a, I know John calls them 8x8s. Depends on how restrictive you are. You need response. You need God to say, no, Gary, go this direction. Sometimes we feel stuck. But I want you to know that sometimes when God stops us, he does it on purpose, and we need to embrace the pause. Sometimes we go so fast, 100 miles a minute, that we forget that we need time with the Lord and he has to stop us. Embrace that. Something that I've really been trying to press into the last year is this idea of Sabbath. Really taking time to turn the phone off, to put it away. Now, I am failing regularly, but realizing that I need that quiet time because otherwise, my head just goes a million miles a minute and I need to pause. I need to stop. I need to take some time every week to just get into God's Word and just spend time with him for an extended period of time. And I can tell you that I've got 100,000 things to do just like everybody else does. But what I've found is when I do better with that resting, when I stop, I actually, something crazy happens. I actually get more done. I actually am clearer thinking. I'm actually able to really listen to what God is telling me. So maybe that's you. Maybe it's just the time to stop. Maybe it's just the time to pause. But whatever it is, sometimes God, before he can redirect us, he oftentimes has to stop us. The second thing I think we can see from this is God never closes a door without a plan to open another. Now, I know at first this kind of feels like just a happy speak, you know. Oh, you know, God's always going to, he's always going to lead in positive ways. And, you know, I want to be clear here that sometimes the open door may be a direction we're trying to avoid. It may be something that we've been kind of not doing, trying to do our own thing. But I do believe that when he closes a door, he opens another door. It's just this beautiful reflection of God's sovereignty. When the door is closed, you don't have to feel helpless when you're following God because you may not know, but he does. And this is a chance to, again, not worry, but surrender, maybe embrace that pause. Paul and his team saw this. Literally says the Holy Spirit and the Spirit of Jesus was preventing them from doing something that they thought and was really good because there was another direction that God was taking them. Now, if you know the rest of the story, you realize that Paul eventually made it to the regions he was wanting to go to originally. It just wasn't time yet. He had tremendous confidence in the mission and in the mission giver. And so this enabled him to keep going. When detours happen, and I need this more than anybody else, resist to trying to fight your way out of it. Resist saying the words, I got this. I've got to try harder. Now, you should be putting forth tremendous effort. You should be trying. But in the end, our hope is not in our ability. It's in God. And we need to be bold and trust and wait for his time. Before God can redirect us, he oftentimes has to stop us. God never closes a door without a plan to open another. And the third one is doors open and close according to God's timing. This is a hard one. Know this, that the footnote in my Bible that I wrote there says, God's timing is always perfect. Success is often viewed in this world by the destination and the task that we've accomplished. But God's timing is important. I was reminded of this on our trip. We went to Buffalo 2 weeks ago. The founder of the organization said this phrase over and over again. He said, we're going to do things. We're going to accomplish a lot of things. But the journey is more important than the task. Say that again. He would always say the journey is more important than the task. And he would go on to say the people you meet on that journey that God is ordaining for you to meet is more important than accomplishing the task. Sometimes we get so bullheaded, I think, that's just me, that I want to accomplish things and I want to get them done now and put my head down and I'll finish it. Sometimes God is slowing us down, redirecting us so that we can accomplish them in His timing and just maybe bring some other people along with us. We can trust that God is sovereign and we can trust in Him. Now remember, following Jesus is rarely linear. There's many detours. You're going to have your recalculating moments. If you haven't had them yet, young people, they're coming. Roadblocks are going to occur. But I believe in those times, that's where God gives us our greatest blessing, where He reveals His mission that we're to be about, and that we can live a life rooted in relationship with God. And that's where I want to end my time here today, is just remembering the passage from John 15. John chapter 15. This is where Jesus is saying to His disciples, I am the vine. I am the source. Remain in Me. Here's the crazy thing. So many times we think a relationship with Jesus, the prize is heaven. We think the prize is heaven. And don't get me wrong, going to heaven's going to be awesome, but it's only awesome because of the presence of the Lord. And the presence of Jesus is truly our blessing. If we abide in Him and remember that He is our prize, that we should deny ourselves, take up our cross, and follow Him, we can serve Him better. So my charge this week is for you, is this: seek Him more. If you're in the midst of a roadblock, embrace it. Go before the Lord, ask the Lord, what is this roadblock for? Embrace that moment. If you've just come through a roadblock and you realize what God is doing in your life, give Him all the praise and say, amen, thank you, Jesus, keep my eyes open. And if you're not, if you haven't hit any of those yet, start praying. Start praying. God will bring these roadblocks in our life. And I think serving Him, you know, these last 6 years as pastor of this church have taught me so many things about following Him. And I pray that maybe just a couple of them have been shared with you, that God is faithful. Be in communion with Him. Be seeking Him so that you see the roadblocks, that you see the detours, and you'll follow Him. Be on your lookout for detours in your life coming your way and prepare your heart to respond. As the worship team comes forward, we're going to sing one more song. And so my challenge is that to you. I've already mentioned it. I'll mention it again. As we get to our feet and get ready to sing, prepare your heart. Ask God to prepare your heart for the roadblocks. If you're in the middle of one of those right now, ask Him to keep teaching you and directing you and giving you clear vision. And if you haven't seen it yet, just get ready. And if you've come through one, give Him the praise and the glory.
Thank you for tuning in to this week's message. If you want further information about Grace Community Church, you can visit us at gccofalliance.org. Also note, the video for this message, for this sermon, is linked in the details below. Have a great day.